Good afternoon, Upstate. Welcome again to Upstate Outdoors. You're listening to 106.3 WORD with Philip Gentry and Tommy Springer. That's what he said.
Somebody turn the heater on.
We are coming to you live from studios here at the lovely Garlington Road in Woodruff Road.
In the icebox of 106.3 WORD.
In the icebox. In the shadow of the Gateway Project. Somebody closed the gate.
Yeah.
So we got a great show coming up for you today. You know, back in 2018, I was just kind of throwing out a little theme. Today's theme show is this, and so
I just roll with you.
It was easier to do that, you know, during a particular season. But this is kind of like the no season. I mean, there is stuff to do. You can fish today, and you can trap, and you can hunt
small game.
But it's, you know, hard to get.
I'm with you.
A lot of the this time of year, it's planning.
Yeah.
Right?
And for me, it's watching all the saltwater shows that just started on TV.
Watching saltwater shows on TV. It's the TV show
season.
And the planning show season. So I'm going to go with the planning season.
So I like your plan.
I wrote the Upstate Outdoors blog, which is what I was leading into, about how to choose the right fishing rod for your... And you know, if you're a diehard fisherman, you probably know this. If you're not, then it maybe will be of some use to you to try to figure out, you know, how to buy a fishing rod for yourself or somebody else. And that's what a lot of folks are doing. You know, they're playing, well, I got to get all my, I got to put my hunting gear up, and I got to get my fishing tackle out, and, you know, maybe I'm doing this and maybe I'm doing that. So the Upstate Outdoors blog.
Planning season.
Then it's also quail season.
Yes.
And during the first hour, we're going to have an interview with Mike Johnson from down at the Clinton House. And we were just down there just a few weeks ago with Mike. But Mike's put out a call. He said, man, this rain is hurting his quail distributor, supplier. So he's got a bunch of birds on hand, and he's needing to get rid of them.
Yeah.
I just say throw them to that, what was it, Tilly?
It's
Tilly.
Whatever.
Throw them to Tilly. Tilly, take care of them right there.
Great dog.
But I think he would prefer if you shot them first and then Tilly picked them up.
And I see he's been putting in hours of tractor time trying to get them roads passable.
Yep.
It's been a struggle.
Maybe it should be the drying out show.
It's been a struggle for him.
So we're going to talk to Mike Johnson. And then the weekday shows probably beat this up ad nauseum.
Not too bad.
No. But got an article that Brian Cope pulled out about two South Carolina lawmakers who have proposed – a new gun fee in order to provide school resource officers for every school in the state. But let's not start beating on that yet because we're going to.
Yeah.
We'll just say it's coming up. And so sharpen your sticks be ready. And let's not beat them up yet. Let's just hold them up in the air.
Those guys are like the bad flu up there in Columbia that will not go away.
Absolutely. Also, second hour, Roadkill Cafe. Springer's into the small game season.
Yeah, man. We're going to do some rabbit with mushroom gravy, man.
Rabbit season. Duck season. Rabbit season.
Yeah, I got three or four right there at the house.
Yeah.
Finally got them to that weight I want them at.
Oh, yeah. He's been feeding them. Them free-range rabbits there.
They are, because they live in the brush pile right in the fence at the back line of my property.
Then we got a story. Found this on Wide Open. Actually, my wife found this on Wide Open Spaces. It's a potential new world record hunter-killed deer. So I hadn't quite sorted all that
out.
You know, the whole thing about that is you got the Pope and Young, and you got Boone and Crockett.
Yeah.
Pope and Young is for archery
mostly
kills, and then Boone and Crockett is for gun kills.
Mm-hmm.
Or I don't know. I guess you could actually enter an archery kill into Boone and Crockett, but you cannot enter a firearm kill into Pope and Young.
That is true.
That is entirely archery. So it's kind of like world wrestling.
Yeah.
Who really has the belt, biggest belt.
Sort of like bass fishing, too.
Yeah, sort of like bass fishing. So
what league, what tournament?
This.
Yeah, it's
a huge deer. It doesn't even look real.
What? Can you picture? You know, you know how we get shook up. You know, yeah. And you experienced it this year. Can you imagine putting your scope on that?
Yeah. I could chase that deer down. Because there's no way we're racked that wide. He could get through all them young trees. He couldn't run through the trees on my property.
Jeez.
He'd get stuck.
Yeah. Unbelievable.
Yeah. But the article doesn't really go into it, but there's been, anytime somebody kills a big deer, there's always a.
Yeah, he done it. He maybe wasn't legit.
High fence deer. Yeah. So anyway, we'll talk about that. Then it's been a year, more than a year, since we had Lieutenant Kim from South Carolina Department of Natural Resources show with us. She has retired. She gone.
She gone.
After 25 years in law enforcement with South Carolina Department of Natural Resources. And so we're going to have her on the show to talk about her next adventure in life. And it's pretty cool. I won't give it away, but preview that, she and her husband have started a website called SailAwayWithUsSC.com.
So she'll still continue to be doing good things for people.
That's it.
I promise you.
And in the calendar of events, we got a bunch of them.
Well,
yeah,
kinda.
Yeah,
but not really.
What's kinda?
Like,
put a number to kinda.
Four.
Four.
Yeah.
Four's not kinda. Four's like not much.
Well, it's not much. Let's be honest.
We got a couple more.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you know, we're involved in a couple of them.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
So we're gonna.
That gives us at least six.
That's the most important ones anyway.
Yeah. Okay.
So they're gonna consume most of the time during the calendar of events.
And then for our parting shot, if you're a guy and you've ever broken up with a girl, you can relate to this story.
I don't know about that.
It's a story about a young man who couldn't express his feelings about the breakup other than eating her fish.
Well.
Her goldfish. And then a week later, sending her a picture of when the fish came out.
Real nice guy.
Yeah, so anyway.
You know. The more I read and the more I check social media and the more I'm pretty normal fella.
If you've ever made Springer look normal, then, you might be a redneck.
Hold my beer.
Yeah, that's right. Hey, look.
It's just, wow. I don't know, man.
So anyway, announcement. The raccoons are back.
Yeah, I seen his cam pictures from the garage.
I noticed I got a first inkling, and I don't ever tell Boat Girl, you know, hey, I got a suspicion that they're back until I got proof, you know.
True.
And I cleaned out the garage last weekend.
Okay? Good weekend to do it.
I cleaned out the garage last weekend, and I noticed that we got a cat bowl with water in it and a cat food bowl. And I noticed that the water bowl was all dirty and dingy and had, like, little pieces of cat food in it.
Oh, yeah.
You know why?
Yeah, I know why.
Because raccoons wash their food.
Absolutely.
So they took the cat food out of the bowl, and they put it in the water bowl, and they washed it, and then they ate it, which is a disgusting way to eat, but anyway.
Actually, to be honest with you, I wish some humans would have washed their hands as much as a raccoon does.
So I noticed that, and then I started noticing it, the cat food bowl was laying on its side one day, and I said, something's going on.
Something's going on.
So I had to get the trail camera out, and the raccoons are back on. And
it's a herd of them.
I am declaring state of emergency around Bikini Bottom. Yeah. So I'm going to have to make a trip down to Carolina Farm Wildlife Supply. I'm not going with the I'm not going to say the name of the brand because that's not the one I'm using. Probably if I did have a name brand, but I got a live trap.
Right.
It ain't working.
Well, I mean,
they're not heavy enough to trip.
Right. On that note, you know, my mom traps everything.
Yeah.
You know, and she will be the first to tell you those raccoons are the toughest, trickiest, sneakiest to trap in a live trap. They're really, she said they're amazing.
I got a couple of them, but I'm going to change tactics.
Okay.
I'm going to go with the coon cuffs.
All right.
And I'm declaring
that's going to be, boy, that's going to be, wow, that's going to be,
they're supposed to be cat-proof and dog-proof.
Right. But, wow, that's going to be a mess in your garage.
I'm not going to put them in the garage.
You're going to get them before.
No, I'm going to put them out in the little If you've ever set animal traps in your flower bed, you might be a redneck.
That's a high five right there.
All right, well, let's
go. You make me prouder every day, Philip.
On that, let's go to our break. When we come back, we're going to try to tame the show into the Upstate Outdoors blog.
Right here on Upstate Outdoors, 106.3 WORD, the Upstate Talk Station. Springer, PG, Money Penny, and the biggest redneck I know besides me, Philip Gentry. We'll be right back. That Roy Orbison, isn't it, Money Penny?
Yellow.
Yeah?
No.
Well, at first blush,
I'm sorry.
Fishing rods have nearly all the same components. A long, slender rod, which is called the rod blank. Guides, that's what the line flows through from the fishing reel all the way out to the rod tip. A handle, where you hold the rod, and a reel seat that secures the reel to the rod. Now, fishing rods come in three main categories. Bait casting rods, spinning rods, and then that stick with a little piece of ribbon on the end of it that you float round and round. No, and fly rods. Bait casting rods, spinning rods, and fly rods. There are also a small number of specialty rods that might have characteristics of one or more of these categories. Right?
Yes, sir.
Ice fishing rod.
They're usually just itty-bitty miniature spinning rods.
Yeah.
You know, they're really short spinning rods.
And then what else?
That's, you know.
You ever seen the rods that don't have any guides at all and the line goes up through the rod blank?
Yeah. They use
it's like a jigging rod.
Yeah, and I've seen them used on some of the piers on the coastal areas for sabiki rigs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you don't hang everything up.
Anyway, right.
So in general, we got three main categories: bait casting rods, spinning rods, and fly rods. Bait casting rods will be used with the reel and guides pointing up toward the angler, and spinning rods will be used with the reel and guides pointing down and away from the angler. That's very important if you're fishing on a public fishing pier, because it seems like that's the exception to the rule. I see so many people on a public fishing pier with a spinning rod facing back toward the angler and the guides.
You know, I used to just really give those people a hard time, but yep. Now as I've gotten older, I try to go over there and persuade them to the right ways, okay, yep. And help them out a little bit.
Fly rods are pretty much set up like spinning rods in that respect, but they're dramatically different. Now, between the reel seat and the first guide, okay, if you're looking at a rod to purchase, you'll find the specifications of the rod printed on the rod blank. The specifications will list the rod's model number, its length, its action, and sometimes, actually most of the time, the line class is given in a range. Now, many rods are interchangeable between species, right? I mean, you can buy a bass fishing rod, you can buy a crappie fishing rod, but, you know, and I'm thinking like bass rods and inshore rods are pretty similar. Although a lot of the manufacturers are making rods that are specific to species or categories. But it helps to know the quarry that you're after. A heavy action bass fishing rod will vary greatly from a heavy action offshore trolling rod. Now, action is the amount of bend the rod has when pressure is applied at the tip. A fast action rod will bend in only the top third or less of the blank. A medium or moderate action will bend in the top half or so. And a slow action will start bending in the lower third of the rod. The manufacturer may also specify grades in between. Now, fast-action rod are good for most applications involving average casting distances and single hooks, while medium-action rods provide greater casting distance and work well using treble hooks. Now, light-action rods are generally applicable to smaller-sized baits and lures, and the type of lure you use will usually determine the action of the rod that you should use. The rod's power describes its strength or lifting power. Many manufacturers are getting away from using the old categories of heavy, medium, light, and ultralight to describe the rod's power and are using line classes instead. Mm-hmm. But it's important to stay within the line classes stated classification because a heavy power rod may snap at a lighter line.
Yeah.
But now that actually goes backwards. I see lighter action rods with heavier pound tests
break the rod.
Well, yes and no. I know a lot of times that has to do with, like, if you're fishing in cover, you'll go with a heavier.
Mm-hmm.
The size fish and the type of cover being fished often dictates what power or line class you'll need. Now, the rod blank composition dictates the quality, performance, and price of the rod. Graphite and fiberglass are the two most common materials, with graphite having surpassed fiberglass usage many years ago. Now, terms like IM6, IM7, and IM, and that's the letters, IM8, mm-hmm. are industry trade names for graphite and are not standard between manufacturers. But they will help you to compare the quality of the blanks between the same manufacturer. An IM6 is going to be lesser quality, IM7 is going to be better, and IM8 among that same manufacturer. Now, modulus is another non-standard term used to describe the stiffness of the graphite. Most anglers believe, and Tommy Springer backed me up on this, the best way to select a rod, rather than saying, well, I don't want an IS with a modulus rating of so-and-so, just pick the rod up and see how it feels in your hands.
Every rod I own, that's exactly how it was picked out.
Finally, the composition of the line guides, handle, and reel seat will be strong indicators of the quality and cost of the fishing rod. Now, guides range from stainless steel rings on the low end to a metal frame with ceramic inserts made of silicon carbide on the high end. And, of course, then there's several grades of lesser materials in between. Now, cork handles are generally considered higher end than EVA foam, but there's a great variation in the thickness and craftsmanship among cork handles. You'll find a cork handle on a cheap rod.
Yeah.
And you'll find a really expensive cork handle on a really expensive rod. Now, how they perform when they get wet is probably the biggest indicator. I've also seen rods in a couple of categories that are wrapped.
Yes.
They're wrapped cord
mm-hmm.
instead of
yes.
cork or foam.
That's, see a lot of those that are custom built.
Yeah, that's for better grip. Now, let's see. How they perform when wet is a great indicator. That's where I was. Reel seats are also fairly standard. The material that seats between the rod and the reel, and that ranges from graphite to plastic, and that dictates how much feel the angler will have between the rod and the reel, and that helps in the overall balance of the combo. So there you have it, how to pick your best reel.
Yeah.
Hey, we got a caller on
the
line.
It's Gunny.
Let's grab Gunny.
Talking Gunny. Hadn't seen him since we was at the CNC.
Awesome.
Go ahead, Gunny.
Hey, how y'all fellas doing this morning?
Good to hear your voice again, Gunny.
Yes, sir. Just wanted to call you and tell you about a fishing trip that I had at a private pond.
Yes, sir.
And every time I got in there, we were catfishing. I'd hang something. I don't know what it was. It was big. And I carried a buddy. He was a Navy SEAL with me. And told him, I said, what was going on? And we got to fishing. Sure enough, I hung that thing.
Yes, sir.
He said, I'm going to jump in there and go down. We was on the dam. He said, I'll go down in there and find out what he's getting hung around.
Yes, sir.
Well, I waited and waited, and finally my line broke. He come back up, and he was gasping for air. He said, you right. He's hanging around something. I said, what is it? He said, is it a stump? He said, no, it's an old Chevrolet car that's down in there. I said, what's he doing, getting around the bumper or something and getting under it? He said, no. He said, every time you hang him, he'll get inside and roll the window up.
Gunny, let me tell you something. They do the same thing in the Gulf of Mexico, those snapper on those big buses.
Yeah.
They eat your bait go in the bus and put the window up. That's awesome, Gunny. You doing all right? You having a happy new year?
Yes, sir. I'm doing good. I'm getting over 2 weeks of the flu, but
yes, sir.
It's good to hear you boys, and I really respect you guys because you always tell the truth.
All right, brother. You do too, Gunny. God bless you, and we'll talk to you soon, okay?
Yes, sir.
All right.
and
Gunny's a true character.
And I'll add on that, you can't get them out no matter what you do because they lock the door.
I got to meet Gunny finally at CNC when we was at the indoor range, and he's just a spark plug.
Awesome.
He's a good dude.
Well, let's go to our break. When we come back, we're going to ring up our buddy Mike Johnson from the Clinton House Plantation. I think there's a sale going on.
You think so? We're going to find out right here on Upstate Outdoors, 106.3 WORD, the Upstate's talk station. We're going to talk to our good bud Mike Johnson down at the Clinton House Plantation. I think it's going to be a quail free-for-all. Need to be a part of it.
Well, I got this story off of carolinasportsman.com, written by Brian Cope, but it's been pretty hot story in the news all week. As you know, the South Carolina General Assembly, they came in this week? Started last week. Anyway, they started in the last couple of weeks, and two lawmakers have proposed a new state law that would add an additional 7% fee to every gun sold in the Palmetto State. The additional revenue would be used to fund school resource officers throughout the state schools. South Carolina currently has about 370 schools that do not have school resource officers, according to the South Carolina Department of Education. District 70 Representative Wendy Brawley, who's a Democrat,
mm-hmm.
I hold my shocked face, and District 79 Representative Ivory Thigpen, another Democrat, mm-hmm. introduced the proposal. Now, with the General Assembly back in session starting today, and this is written, like I said, about a week ago, the proposal could be debated this week. Thigpen stressed this is not an anti-gun proposal, and then his nose grew.
Amen.
We live in a state where people buy guns and people own guns. We're not in any way saying people shouldn't do that. As a matter of fact, people have every right to. What we are saying is that we need recurring revenue and funds to provide the type of security and safety that our children need, Thigpen said. Brawley agreed, but she said she knows the proposal will have its detractors. So basically, she's saying she's not a complete idiot. We know there'll be some pushback. We are prepared. We are prepared for that.
You think?
But this is a people's bill. This is designed to help the most vulnerable population we have, and that's our children, she said. Now, I'm going to pause here for a second.
Bring it.
A lot of people have said this and comment to this. So basically what you're saying is you're saying, okay, what we're going to do is we're going to fund this from the sales of this, okay? But what they're not saying is that the two things are related. In other words, well, because we have so many guns,
exactly.
is why we need exactly. school resource officers. They're not saying that.
No.
I mean, they're saying that to themselves.
Right.
But they're not saying that to the general public. But what they're saying is, oh, look, we have all these firearm sales that go on, and we're going to put a tax on this
yeah.
to fund school resource officers. Okay. Which is the typical Democratic tax and spend
exactly.
Bravo Sierra that they do with everything. But I got a proposal here. I think they sell a whole lot more of these high-dollar coffees
Agreed.
Than they sell guns per capita. Okay? Because there are a lot of people who don't own guns and more. So let's put a 7% increase on
Starbucks.
And I'm not even going to pick out. I mean, just if coffee's more than 50 cent, let's put 7% increased tax on it, okay? And if we're just picking out a random category to tax,
might as well
and
be
I
coffee.
Would guess that a whole lot more people buy coffee than they do buy guns.
Amen.
Now, so if you want to roll this out and say, well, you know, you can't put a direct correlation between people who drink coffee and the need for school resource officers. I got another proposal for you.
Love it. Bring it.
Let's put a 7% tax increase on video games.
Bingo.
Right?
Right.
I mean, we could go down the list and say, okay, you know, what they're alluding to is that this causes this, and there's no proof of that. In fact, the legal gun owners are about the only thing standing in the way of total chaos.
Amen.
So it's just I'm not like Tommy Springer. I don't stomp around and beat my chest and all that stuff.
Oh God,
it just doesn't make sense.
No, and let me elaborate on that a minute, okay? It was not too long ago we had a gas tax rammed down our throat.
Yep.
Okay.
More tax and spend.
Exactly. And let me tell you something that's fact, and you can look it up if you want to, and if you listen to the Bobby Mack Show, you know this, okay? Out of that gas tax, ask me how much percentage of that gas tax was spent on roads in Spartanburg County.
How much?
Zero.
None.
The money that's going to the I-85 and the stuff they're doing on the interstate is federal money, okay, because it's an interstate.
Yeah.
All the other roads, okay, there has not been 1% spent out of that gas tax on any of it, the roads. So where's it going?
Yeah.
It's going to go to the same place it's going to go if they're able to pull this rigmarole off. It's going to go in their pocket.
Somebody else's pocket.
Exactly.
Well, to finish the article, Governor McMaster is not in favor of the proposal. WIS-TV in Columbia asked the governor's office about the proposal. The governor's office responded with an email that said, Governor McMaster was the first to start talking about the need for school resource officers last year in his State of the State address and secured more than $2 million in the final budget for a pilot program to begin the process of reaching his goal of having a certified law enforcement officer in every school, in every county, all day, every day. Reaching that goal is a matter of prioritizing existing funds, not simply taxing and spending. So, again, the next thing that they're saying is, oh, we don't have enough money for the school resource officer program, so we need more money. No, you don't. You absolutely do not. I mean, I think it's pretty much ad nauseum that South Carolina's got a surplus.
Yes, they do.
And, you know, hey, and I think the article gets into this, all of this South Carolina education lottery money,
yeah,
okay, that yeah. never gets spent. You know, I mean, it's a pyramid scheme, and a kid gets a B, and he gets it for about, you know, a semester or two.
Yeah.
And then he don't get it anymore, doesn't, you know, the $1,500, which they bring in every county yeah. every month. But one of the most popular shotguns for hunters, let me back up and get into the article, says if the law passes, it will raise about $22 million in additional revenue each year. And basically, that's based on if one of the most popular shotguns for hunters is a Remington VersaMax, which has an average cost of about $1,000. It's a 12-gauge, full synthetic camouflage model. If this proposal becomes a law, the same gun, instead of being $1,000, would be $1,070, obviously 7%. A Ruger American rifle and .22 long rifle, which averages about $270, would increase to $289.
Mm-hmm.
So you just more tax, mm-hmm. and like you said, and it won't end up, even if it were to pass, you know, who's going to administrate this?
There's your problem.
Who's going to administrate this?
Right. Your thoughts, Moneypenny. Did you have some thoughts?
She was grabbing the microphone.
Yeah. I always love to hear Moneypenny's thoughts.
Well, I do not have a horse in this race. I do not have children, but I still pay for the school tax.
Yep.
My opinion is, why don't we take some of the overpaid superintendents of the school that make way too much money and take that, just a portion of it, from every superintendent, and ta-dum, you'll have your resource officers.
Well,
bingo.
Thank you, Moneypenny. Well said. There's a lot of different, I mean, you know, I don't want to get into debating the state budget and all that stuff, but I really agree with Governor McMaster here. It's allocation of the current resources that you have.
True.
Okay. And let's have some transparency and some common sense with using that rather than let's just reach out and grab, you know, what the Democrats deem to be, oh, the hated and feared
Absolutely.
Group. And let's start tearing them down with an additional tax.
And what happened the last time that they did an ethical investigation where the money went?
Yep.
Nothing.
Yep.
Nothing. And the thing about it is, guys, this is just the beginning. It's going to be with all these new knuckleheads that's in office and in the House, and we got some in South Carolina. It's going to be a continuous barrage of this nonsense, okay? So get ready for it. I'm just letting you know.
Well, hopefully this proposal will go down the drain because it lacks substance.
Yes.
You know, you're
major.
You're basically putting the burden of one thing on a completely unrelated user group.
Exactly.
And I'm obviously make sure that your legislators know how you stand, and they'll take it from there.
Yeah.
So
we'll see how it plays out.
Let's go to a break. Maybe we'll call down to the Clinton House again.
Maybe
Mike
phone.
Johnson found his phone by then. We'll see.
If not, I got
a raccoon story I can talk to you about.
We've always got Plan B right here, Upstate Outdoors, 106.3 WORD, the Upstate's talk station. Stay tuned. We'll be right back after these quick messages.
You know, a lot of us out there in the listening audience live in a neighborhood, and we own pets, and, you know, cats or dogs, and, yeah. Jack's gotten to where he's an inside dog now.
He's so, getting up there in his age.
He pretty much, you know, gets fed inside. We have a cat. Okay? It's not something I'm proud of, but we have a cat. And the agreement was that I would feed a cat. So it's an outside cat. So you have a cat outside, and you have to feed it, and it's, you know, so it gets cold. So basically we have a way for the cat to get into the garage and eat, and it's got a bed, and it stays warm, and it doesn't freeze to death, and nobody calls.
Good for you.
Okay? And it's a very furry cat, okay? Cat loves the outdoors. I mean, you go see him. He's laying in. Anyway, so I had to feed the cat, right? So back in about October, where my wife and I live, we've got a wooded area around us, and I started noticing. And I figured the cat's putting on some weight for the winter because the food's gone. And I feed him in this gravity feed bowl, so you know, so he can eat as much as he wants, whenever he wants, whatever. Well, so I noticed that, I mean, we were going through food like four times as much, and the cat wasn't getting any bigger. You know, wasn't putting on any weight. So being the hunter that I am, and I didn't really want to talk about this on the radio back in October.
I brought it out of him, folks.
Yeah, because because of the way our game seasons run. Since then, we've had Sergeant Kim from DNR on talking about, well, what do you do about varmints? She goes, oh, no. They're within, what'd she say, 100 yards of your property.
Correct.
So anyway, let me back up into my story. So feed the cat. I noticed cat's eating a whole lot, and the things just don't look right, okay? So I pulled a trail camera out of the woods, brought it home, stuck it up in the garage. We're going to see what's going on at night. Well, lo and behold, a litter of raccoons had found the cat bowl, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So, I made the very sheepish announcement to Boat Girl that we have raccoons that are eating Chummy's food. Chummy's the name of the cat. So what do you do? So, well, we went and my first thing is, well, I'm going to trap the raccoons, okay? So we went and we got one of these live traps and put it out there, and we were pretty successful. The first day we caught one and, it took him out. And then the second day, a couple of days later, there was a big commotion going on, okay? So my wife says, I don't know what's going on out in the garage, but something's happening. I don't know if the cats, there's two cats in the garage in a fight. So anyway, and it was, you know, late at night. I had already gone to bed, so I get up and I'm wearing my underwear, okay? And I open the door and I see a raccoon in the trap and four other raccoons trying to spring him. Okay?
Right.
In the garage. So what do you do? So I ran in and I grabbed my Buck Mark 22, which is a very accurate 22. And I have, you got different 22 ammunition. And I have subsonic ammunition that I had already loaded in there for dispatching use for the first raccoon. So basically, I just, in my underwear, ran out into the garage. Closed the door behind me and had it out with about five raccoons. And they didn't leave. I mean, they were like bowing up and stuff.
Yeah, hissing. Maybe hissing a little
hissing
bit.
Hissing at me. You know, they didn't like the fact I did. The first brother, they didn't care much about. Second brother must have been the favorite.
Yeah.
So basically, we had a showdown at the OK Corral in my garage back in October. That was kind of a that one didn't make it on the radio, like I said, because I didn't know exactly what the hunt
and we discussed
were.
It with the green jeans of that we know and talk to.
Yeah, so we talked to
Amy
talked
and
to
also
Sergeant Amy, and she was like, "Oh no, if you got varmints, within 100 yards of your house, it's open season." Yeah. I'm like, "Oh, so I can talk about that." So anyway, after the incident at the OK Corral. In the garage, and which I got a couple of them, okay, and then the rest of them fled. Found out, and I said at the beginning of the show that they're back.
They're back.
And, I figured, okay, we'd come to an understanding that don't come in here and eat the cat's food or else
the consequences.
You get a lead sandwich. And apparently they've forgotten that. And,
well, sure.
And so I put a trail camera up. I told this story at the beginning of the show. Put a trail camera up, and again, there's three more of them coming in there.
Wow.
And the cat just he just vacates the area.
Right.
This, of course, this always happens at night.
Sure.
The raccoons come in, and the cat just vacates the area, and then, you know, he goes back to eating. So the cat's not starving. I mean, he's got food, just costing us a bunch of food. And the bad thing is I read that cat food gives raccoons gout.
Okay.
It's going to give them lead poisoning is what it's going to give them. But last night I told him, I said, we got to work on this this trap that we're using because it's just not getting the job done. And I've had it out, you know, after the raccoon incident, after the shootout, I put the trap in there and put some corn in it, and they didn't touch it. Okay.
Wow.
So I figured we're done with it. But now that they're back and the corn's been out there in the trap, you know, for a while, but I think these animals are too light or too smart or whatever. They're not tripping the pan.
Maybe.
That triggers the cage to come down. And you know, we worked on that last night and kind of tried to loosen up the spring
right.
and lubricate the stuff. I even sprayed some of Doc's deer scent, Sweet
Bingo.
Demise.
All right.
That vanilla.
Yeah, it smells
there.
Great.
Because I read, we were watching on YouTube.
They might smell your hands.
Well, I don't think that bothers raccoons okay. whatsoever. But we were watching on YouTube last night about, you know, raccoons and
right.
how to trap them and stuff like that. They love, they're curious about scents and all.
Yes, they are.
I said, man, I got some Sweet Demise in there, and that doesn't smell bad. So, I sprayed it all over and everything and got up this morning. They had taken the bait and even the bait tray
yeah.
out of the trap. It was gone, and it wasn't triggered. So, I think, you know, last week we were talking to Bart Littlejohn with the Carolina Farm Wildlife Supply. I think I'm going to have to go with a little more standard the coon cuffs.
Right.
And we were watching that, and they're dog-proof, cat-proof
right.
traps.
Mm-hmm.
And basically what happens is it's like a mouse trap inside of a tube.
Yeah.
And when they reach in there and they pull on the bottom of it, it's pretty stout. It handcuffs them to the ground.
Yeah.
And what is that? We got a... says, can't you relocate? I'm going to go to the text line because I'm bouncing all over the place.
Okay.
Read that.
Can't you relocate the raccoons versus killing them? You can't exterminate them all. You have to make it to where they can't get in your garage. You've disappointed that you choose this method to eliminate the raccoons. Very cruel.
No, wait.
Okay.
Wait. Let me back up and
okay.
make sure that I understand your question.
Okay.
So you're asking me if I can relocate raccoons versus killing them. Okay. Very ineffective. I'm just putting my problem on somebody else. Not only that, but that's illegal. Okay?
True.
All right. You can't exterminate them all. Well, that remains to be seen. But anyway, you have to make it where they can't get into your garage. Very disappointed in the method that you choose that it's cruel. Okay, here's the thing. You're texting an outdoor show, okay? Upstate Outdoors, okay? Springer's middle name is Whack'em and Stack'em.
Woo!
Okay? So, no, it's not. And I will promise you this.
Kumbaya,
my
Lord.
The method that is used is not cruel, but it is very quick.
Effective.
It's very effective and very quick. So,
wow. What do you think the cockroach exterminator does?
Yeah,
are we
exactly.
going to catch them in a trap and release them to the next door neighbor?
Yeah. That's it.
How about them fire ants? You going to scoop them up in a bucket, take them over to your neighbor's yard, and pour them in it?
Essentially, that's what you do when you put that.
I'm just saying, man.
When you put that fire ant stuff, that's all they do is they move over to your neighbor's yard.
That's about the same thing.
Yeah, I'm not going to pass the raccoon problem over to my neighbor.
So it's okay to kill rats. It's okay to kill cockroaches. It's okay to kill fire ants. But that poor little raccoon.
Look, let me tell you something about trash pandas. If you have ever seen where they have gotten into a house.
Oh, it's terrible.
They have destroyed.
Ransacked.
They'll ransack a house. They'll poop everywhere.
Yeah.
So, no, I'm doing the rest of humanity a favor.
Yeah.
Anyway, well, there's the music. We're going to go to our break. Beginning of the hour. Come back with the Roadkill Cafe after the news.
Yeah, we're having Kumbaya Raccoon, baby, right here. Upstate Outdoors, 106.3 WORD, the Upstate's talk station. Philip Gentry, Tommy Springer, Money Penny, and Tommy Springer, Philip Gentry are the meanest people on the planet. Stay tuned.